Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Plato said, "The part can never be well unless the whole is well." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who is making sure that the healthcare industry is well. Today's Playmaker has aligned a network of more than 500 primary care physicians. With us today is a CEO whose parent company has created significant savings as it manages over 1 million patient lives and over $5 billion in annual medical expenditures. This great playmaker is Christopher Crowe. Chris is an MD, CEO of Stratify Health, and president of Catalyst Health Network. Dr. Crowe created Stratify Health and launched Catalyst Health Network after founding Village Health Partners and Legacy Medical Village in Plano. He spent the last 20-plus years helping communities improve the delivery of healthcare. During their first year of operations in 2016, Catalyst Health Network performed with significant savings of approximately $20 million for the communities they served. Stratify Health is a parent company managing Catalyst Health Network and is a physician services and population health organization. As CEO, Dr. Crowe has been instrumental in the company's massive five-year growth, serving over 1,100 providers between their health and practice services. Additionally, Stratify Health manages over $5 billion in annual medical expenditures and manages over 1 million patient lives, which has created significant savings for the providers and practices. A lot to talk about. Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, these are two interesting concepts, both Stratify Health and Catalyst Health Network. Before we delve into how they work, why did you make the decision to stop practicing medicine, and what drew you to developing these companies?
Well, I certainly didn't get into medicine in the idea of patient care as you would traditionally think of it from a family practitioner that I am to ultimately get out of it. But like many stories that we have, and you have a lot of doors that open at different times and people that come into your life and information that comes that leads you down a path of maybe that's unexpected. A little background that's context is I grew up in Hillsboro, Texas, which is about an hour south of here. And in that town, there was about three or four family physicians during the time I was growing up. And they did a lot more than just sit in the exam rooms and take care of the people that when they had the sick and they were in the flu or diabetes or whatever. They were on the church boards, the city council, you know, they managed a lot of the things around town that was way more than just their healthcare job. And it was really a mentorship for me to see how someone would actually care for a community and think broadly about the health and well-being of a community. So I grew up in that, and that was deep in my DNA. And so when I got into practice and started growing Village Health Partners with some of my partners, we wanted to be different. We had experienced healthcare and residency that was very confusing. We didn't understand why would you make people wait? Why would you make it really hard for them to get around the healthcare industry for the care they needed? And no one really knew about costs. And so we set out with Village Health Partners and Legacy Medical Village to do some just simple things around, let's just say yes when people are sick and get them in, and let's build something like this Legacy Medical Village where when they need more than just us, that it's very convenient for them, and that there's communication amongst the caregivers that are caring for that patient, very patient-centric. And along the way, we were the first certified what's called patient-centered medical home in the whole kind of middle part of the U.S., and this was around 2008 or so. And it was some of those principles that got us that, and then what got us from there was a contract with Blue Cross Blue Shield that was the first time we started to better align, we can probably talk more about this in a minute, but better align the care delivery system to provide better care and have the financing match that to incentivize better care, not just more care. With that came a big amount of data that became available to me that I had never seen before. And that data was all of my patients who were mostly in PPO network designs from their employers. I got to see not only what happened to them in my practice, but what was going on if they saw a surgeon or picking up crutches or hospitalization or any medicines, anything. And I was shocked at a couple of things. One, the variance of costs for the same exact procedure or service across the Metroplex at different locations. The variance was insane. Just think about having your oil changes be, even sometimes with the same chain, be 50 to 100% different in price for just the same exact service. I'd never seen anything like that in my world.
Very interesting. Interesting analogy that you used.
Yeah. And then secondly, I noticed that when those patients were in these large health systems, they were way more expensive than when these independent physicians were caring for them. So now you connect back to my roots in Hillsboro, and I had a flash in that 2010 period of, wow, this is my responsibility. My professional purpose has become very clear to me, that how I will take care of not only my patients but my community as a whole is tied to changing the delivery model of healthcare and connecting it to better financing to ultimately lead to a healthier citizenship that should have a lower cost profile. So those resources that we're wasting in healthcare today could be better allocated to a community, whether that be corporately, civilly, philanthropically, educationally, any way we can make our world to be said a better place.
So this was your aha moment that apparently many physicians have not, well, they apparently realize this is going on, but decide their practice was the foremost thing they're going to do, where you decide that you want to begin to make a change. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, you start from where you are, right? So in 2010, I didn't have Stratify Health or Catalyst in my brain in that moment. So you start with wherever you are and you take that first step. So I'd already taken a step philosophically with this being open, you know, extended hours, online, weekends, saying yes to people, building a village of convenience. But once I got that data around costs and variance, the next step was, how do I make this actionable to the physicians and the patients that we see today? How can we better inform them? A simple way you could put that into play. Hey, you know what? That MRI that you need, if you go downstairs to our outpatient facility, or you go across, you know, down the road, if you're in another community and it's more convenient for you, to an outpatient facility, it may be a fifth, a sixth of the cost of if you go walk into, you name the hospital's MRI, that has the exact same technology, the exact same radiologist, but just has a different facility structure to it. So we put that into play immediately. So immediately we were able to start yielding savings for our population just by doing a couple little things like that. And then when you do that for a year and you go, okay, my little practice just saved my little community $1 million. That's 30,000, 25,000 people, maybe. What if it was a million? What if it was 2 million? What if it was in other markets? What could we do? So then you started dreaming of what other ways could you start to change the delivery system? And again, not something that scales across the nation, but help your community right there where we are. And so that's how we got into ultimately Stratify and then Catalyst.
What amazes me the most, and you mentioned this already, is the data that you put together. And that's what helped create that. How and where did you develop that data as you were Village Health Partners and Legacy Medical Village?
So, you know, data is a funny thing. You know, the way we were originally getting it was through our own, to use an industry agnostic term, CRM, or you know, in healthcare we call those things electronic medical records. And so I had information around how well I was doing on my diabetics or my high blood pressure patients, or how well they were doing on getting their, you know, mammograms done, but I only had it in my silo of data. This new shift that we had in 2009-10 is I started getting Blue Cross Blue Shields data, and I already talked about how I started to be able to see how others, when they would leave my office, what was happening. That also included me understanding more about, hey, they may have gotten a mammogram over here, they may have gotten a diabetic care gap done somewhere else. And so you combine two data sets and you get a more realistic picture. Three data sets, even a more realistic picture. So it made me start getting the appreciation of the more data we can get, the more we can process it, and then the more we can provide insights to the point of care relationship. And that relationship is the physician and the patient. How can that relationship be more informed by data? It's really, really important. Rather than just using your gut at all times, I mean, there's common sense, and we've talked a lot about common sense, but when is there data that can tell us something that we as a relationship did not know yesterday that can inform us differently today? Hey, that MRI that I've been sending over to that hospital, that's sorry about that, it's been six times more expensive all these years. Let's just go get it, have it done over there. That may not have any impact on the quality of care of what's going on with you in that moment, but cost and our financial resources and the stewardship of that is very much a responsibility under the Hippocratic Oath of any physician too. And certainly for our community as a whole, if you think about going back to my Hillsborough days of how I want to think about the community holistically, then I want to make sure that the financial dollars, whether it's an employee or an employer or the government, are the best allocated for and provides value. So that's how data has been very powerful to us to learn things that you can't learn in med school necessarily or residency, or they currently aren't teaching us, that you have to get from looking at different streams of data that traditionally are not sitting in doctors' practices.
Well, you are now aligned with four major healthcare groups in North Texas. But I would think a big part of your time is spent, not your time, your company's time, recruiting physicians to come into the program. Is that correct?
So, you know,
and to add their data to the data pool you have.
Yeah, I would say the way we think about, we have grown a lot in the last 5 years, probably tenfold. You know, if you think about it from a revenue standpoint, or five times, or if you think about employees, and those people come into our world mostly word of mouth. I don't have a sales team. We did go out when we first started Catalyst, and we spent 6 months kind of preaching the gospel, I would say, of how we were trying to deliver better care, and that better care was going to also be a better way to practice for the physicians. The patients would win, the employers that were paying for would win, the carriers would win, and that physician would win. So we were trying to create that win-win-win. So that it did attract a lot of people, but interestingly, you know, the process for that, we call it a soul biopsy, and we would have meetings with probably another couple hundred physicians that did not join us for a variety of reasons, most of which they had an interesting, different orientation than we did to data and whether or not it was valuable, or they didn't want anybody else talking to their patients and helping them with their patients. But most physicians were of the mindset of, you know what, if you can help me take better care of my patient and help me with that relationship, especially the toughest ones, then thank you. I'd like to be a part of that.
So a percentage saw the light.
Yes, and what's interesting now, here you fast forward 2 or 3 years later, and you think about just the normal adoption curve that happens, every year we're moving that adoption curve a little bit more. So we have grown to a little over 500 now. And now we just take calls, you know, on a weekly basis, maybe not daily, but certainly a weekly basis of people who are like, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing. I love the philosophy. I get that this is the way healthcare is going, and it should be that. I get that it's better care. How can I be a part of it?
Two questions. First one, from the physician point of view, let's say I'm a physician. I want to become a part of this. How am I involved? What's the relationship all about?
So you use a great word with relationship. And at Stratify Health, the parent company, our number one core value is relationships matter. We think that matters at the practice level, physician and patient, and we think organizationally, our organization and your organization and the people inside of that have to have a really, really strong relationship. So the value for a provider or a practice to be involved with Stratify or Catalyst are connected along that philosophy. But from a Stratify Health standpoint, the easiest way I can describe it is that the things that are going on inside of your practice that are not clinically related, you know, you're trying to figure out how to manage all your IT systems, and you went to medical school, there weren't any IT classes, and all of a sudden there's these regulations now that make up 10% of your costs, and you're trying to figure out how to viruses and HIPAA and all these different things. Or how's your revenue cycle working? How's your EMR working? How do I even look at a performance? I know, I understand how to do vital signs on my patients, but how do I do vital signs on my company? You know, what's that, the analogy of a car dashboard? Most of these physicians today in independent practice, which is are basically driving their practice like a car without a dashboard, blind. And because we didn't get any of that training, and it costs money, that's one of the reasons they often go join a big system. And that consolidation in this particular market, consolidation of systems creates power, which creates leverage, which creates a rising cost. And Dallas-Fort Worth is, if I don't know if you knew this, is the third most expensive metro area in the country for healthcare now because of a lot of that consolidation. So that's one way at Stratify Health. They come to us because they want to better run their practice. And then on the flip side, Catalyst, what it does is it helps them take better care of their patient on the clinical side. It helps them not only help them with a relationship there, but if that patient needs to be navigated through the system, you think of specialists, hospitals, ancillary services, medications, home health, all these different things that are in healthcare that someone may need, especially people with chronic disease. How can we better navigate that? The current healthcare system, again, rewards more care, not better care. And because of that, everyone gets very siloed as a healthcare provider, and there's not a lot of communication or collective collaboration. What we try to build with Catalyst is that you can think of it, to use another industry term, the supply chain management of patients who need a lot of different things done. And let's have the primary care quarterback that with a team that fills in the gaps between providers to make sure it's a smooth. It's basically scaling what we did at Legacy Medical Village when we had everybody right there in one little geographic location. How do you do that on a larger area scale?
So what you're really doing is getting these physicians to network with each other. As you said, the primary physician as that quarterback to help the patient, which I want to ask you about in a moment. We're speaking with Dr. Christopher Crow. Chris is CEO of Stratify Health and president of Catalyst Health Networks. The websites are catalysthealthnetwork.com and Stratify, S-T-R-A-T-I-F-I, stratifyhealth.com. But as I was mentioning before, I mentioned your name again, the patient. How does a patient benefit by having his or her primary physician be a part of your network?
Well, the patients in America today, you know, not all patients are equal. Let's talk about that real quickly. And to answer that question, there's this kind of rule of thumb that we use in healthcare industry today that 5% of the patients make up around 50% of the costs. Okay, and probably 20% of the patients make up around 80% of the costs. So America today, there's a large percentage of people who are young or healthy or older and still healthy that aren't interacting with the healthcare system because there's not a need to, and that's fine. So where we really put our focus in is the people that are currently having chronic disease or at risk for having chronic disease. And so I don't know if you have a family member or yourself or a friend, but once you get to a certain frailty or multiple chronic diseases and you're on 6 or 9 medications, I mean, your whole life is basically consumed with trying to navigate yourself through the crazy healthcare system. And so a patient today may be spending or get spent on them, however you want to look at this, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year on their healthcare just to manage all the things going on. And I will tell you that if you're an individual, the difference between getting $15,000 spent on you a year for healthcare versus $60,000 spent on you in healthcare, everyone would raise their hand for the $15,000. It's not fun to have to get $60,000 spent on you. That's ER visits, that's hospitalization. Those aren't experiences people like. So what the experience they have with Catalyst Health Network is we wrap around a team and technology and data around that physician-patient relationship and support that and make sure that the appropriate care is happening at the appropriate setting, making sure that we are checking that the medications that they are on are actually the right medications and making sure that they actually are taking them. 60% of Americans do not take their medications correctly. We can move that number to about 95%. You do that, you see dramatically different outcomes clinically, which yields dramatically different costs on their annual bill. And the experience that that is for a patient is, one, thank goodness I'm not having to go through all that other stuff that's really expensive. I feel better. I feel valued. My physician clearly cares for me, that he would wrap this team around me. Again, we're building the way healthcare should be, not the way healthcare is.
And going back to what you mentioned as you grew up in Hillsborough, this is going back to the local physician. That's not what you're doing, but it's that care and that feeling and that relationship and engagement that you're putting together for the patient. But let's talk about something we discussed prior to the show starting, the employer's role in healthcare, and that's changing. Where is it going to be in 3 to 5 years? How's that going to be different?
So I heard two questions there. One was, what's the employer's role and what's health going to be like in 3 to 5 years? I'll take the second one first because I'll give you kind of a quick short answer. I don't think you see much change in the next 3 to 5 years unless we see a recession. And I think the tax cuts may have pushed that off a bit, but we are in a crazy market right now. And so a recession will happen, and it's a matter of when. And when that happens, let's go back to your first question. What's the employer's role? Well, the employer's role is a real important one, and it's and if you're in Oklahoma or Alaska, where your oil prices really dictate the state's revenue quite a bit in a single industry kind of way, you already are seeing some of this happening. In somewhere like Texas, where it's very frothy and you got a lot of different industry, you're not seeing it as much. But if you just think about it fundamentally, on any type of service that's provided in the world, there's the one that provides the service, and then there's the one that receives the service. And healthcare is unique and creates a little bit of a problem in that we have often someone else who pays for the service that's not the person who receives it. And so that could be the government, and the government is doing a lot to change the conversation. Affordable Care Act did some things, but certainly not enough. And employers, to me, their role is so critical because they're the ones paying the bill. And usually when there's a transaction like that, the person paying for things gets to dictate to the people providing it in a more direct way. Heretofore in America, that's not really happening. But you saw the announcement this morning with Amazon, Berkshire, and JP Morgan saying, we're going to build our own healthcare company. That is the undercurrent feeling that employers have been feeling across the country. Even if you're a small employer, you've been feeling this is unsustainable. Something's got to give. The economy being hot helps, but once it turns, we are going to have to do something different. At 18% of GDP, you cannot continue to have healthcare costs be as expensive. You cannot have healthcare costs rise and double every 7 to 10 years the way it has the last 20 years. It's absolutely taken wages for middle America flat. Doesn't mean employers aren't investing more and more in their employees. They absolutely are investing more and more in their employees. But the average American is not seeing that come home to the kitchen table. And they're having to make trade-offs around, what do I wear? What do I eat? How do I get to places? These are real trade-offs being made by the average American who does not have any savings, yet we stick them with a $1,500 deductible. That was an answer that employers did to cost shift. That's not working out either. Costs keep going up. So employers have a massive role to require change, to require the fundamental formula of more care, to change it to better care and make sure that the financing incentivizes better care, not the more care. And you're starting to see that in pockets around the country, but it's certainly not systematized yet.
Let me ask you a double question to kind of round off this interview. A is Catalyst Health Network and Stratify Health the answer to solve some of this, A? And B, where do you see both of your companies over the next few years? Where are you going? Where is it moving to?
I think where we are today with Stratify and Catalyst is an iteration, a movement towards better alignment of better care and financing of better care. We are in the early stages. There's these things called ACOs, and that's accountable care organizations. That's basically what Catalyst is by some people's definition. And that's just a step towards alignment. We are not all the way there yet. And so, but we're the probably best early stages of that, I would argue, across the country. Where do we go in the next 3 to 5 years? I think, well, there's a lot of There are a lot of questions and uncertainty I would have, but my hope is we would continue to move down that curve of better alignment. And what might that look like? That you're looking at more data being available, more primary care physicians being in a quarterback role, leadership role for a care team to make sure, again, that the patients are getting the care they need at the appropriate setting, having more surveillance tools out there for patients to be interacting with so they don't fall into that reactive, expensive care that you get when you get into the hospital. So I think we're going to keep moving, using technology, engaging more patients, making sure that the financing mechanisms, whether that be the insurance companies or the employers, begin to force us to change our delivery model with the ways that they pay us, and which means that I'm in conversation with all of those people to help make that change happen. I wish it was already happening today, but I'm very hopeful in the next 3 to 5 years, and when we get the recession, these conversations will really pick up.
Well, at least you're beginning to make some traction with what you're doing, but it also sounds like from the primary physician point of view, the quarterback, as you mentioned, they're going to need some additional learning or training to help them understand how to put all this together for their patients. Is that correct?
Yes, the traditional a physician doesn't have the training to do that. So you have to have a kind of a loving, caring, compassionate organization that understands the physician, that can build trust with them to be able to shepherd them through a transition state. I think the default position for most humans is they don't like change. They want things better. They just don't want to change. Physicians are a great example of that. And so being able to help them make that shift is one that once they do, they feel better about how they're taking care of patients. They feel better about the time how they allocate their time and how it balances with their family. Generally, it can help their finances too. It can be that win-win-win. It just requires them to change their orientation and mindset just a little bit about what can be possible in the power of a team versus the power of an individual.
A lot to talk about here. We could keep going, but to bring this to a close, should someone have interest in finding out more about Catalyst Health Network or Stratify Health, how do they find out more?
Certainly on the websites, there's places where you can contact us, phone number that will be there as well. All of those are actually being revamped in the next 2 to 3 weeks in February to be able to have even a more responsiveness way to not only reach out to us, but once you become related to us, have even a tighter relationship.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You are definitely a playmaker.
Appreciate it.
Playmaker is somebody that makes something happen, and you're putting that push into the healthcare industry. We just spoke with Christopher Crowe. Chris is an MD. He's CEO of Stratify Health and president of Catalyst Health Network. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.